Let's move into the scripture. If you can turn to John chapter 8 with me, I'm just going to read this scripture and then we're going to just jump into it. I'm reading out of the New King James, so if that's your version, you're going to follow right along with me. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. John chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to go through to verse 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. So all the people, that's going to be a lot of people. Let's keep that in mind. This is important to the story. It's not just a few. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. Don't you love how in the scripture it goes, now this is why they're saying it, so you don't have to break it apart and try and figure it out. It just says it right here. It's like they were being sneaky. Let's all just know this. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Notice two times he stooped down. We're going to talk about that. Then, verse 9, those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She says, first time she speaks, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Excuse me. So in this story, we see two key players. We're really focusing on two people. We have a whole crowd, but we already know what they're there for. They just don't like her. They want to condemn her, and they want to condemn Jesus. That's their whole point. Our two key players in this story are who? The woman, and who else? Yeah, you got to talk to me. I'm like, I'm a mom. I need to know you're listening. So Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. Those are our two key players. And you know what I noticed, first of all? She has no name. We don't know her name. All we know about her is her sin. And forever, until we get to heaven, that's all we're going to know about her. We don't get to know her name. And first off, that makes me think about how sometimes people define us, but more importantly, how we define ourselves. And we define ourselves by our past. We define ourselves by where we've been, what we've done. And we kind of compartmentalize ourselves to where the Lord can't really use us because of this sin, or somebody else puts that on you. But you know what? God's so much bigger than that. And that was the first thing I noticed, is she has no name. We don't know her name. All we know is she is the woman caught in adultery. It's probably a header on your Bible. An adulteress faces the light of the world. That is who she is. That is who we know her as. But also, as I kept going on, I noticed three things that she needed. Three needs that she had. And three things, three ways that the Lord fulfilled it. So if you're taking notes, excuse me, the first, we're going to talk about the woman first. She's got her three needs, and then we're going to talk about Jesus. He's got his three fulfillments to those needs. The first need, she was caught. There's no doubt about it. There's no, well, maybe she did, maybe she didn't. Absolutely, without a doubt, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act, okay? Caught. There's no explaining her way out of it. And if you notice, she's not talking the entire time. We don't hear that she's going, let me go, I didn't do anything wrong, let me go. She is just, and even if she did fight, she'd be powerless. I mean, she's got these men dragging her into the middle of this midst of people, so she wouldn't even be able to fight anyway. But she doesn't say anything, she's caught. No doubt about it, in the very act, which moves me to humiliated. That's the second one, she's caught. She's humiliated in the very act. I don't want to be graphic, and I'm not going to be because I see some little ones in here. In the very act would make me think that she's not fully covered, and she's now in the midst of this group of men. Talk about humiliated. Anybody else want to like stop for a second and picture if that were you? Think about how humiliated you would be. You're now in the center of this crowd of people who aren't just standing around you. They're shouting, "Kill her. She deserves death. She deserves death." She's caught, she's humiliated, and lastly, she's alone. They refer to the law, right? The law says she's supposed to be stoned. Well, the law actually said in Leviticus 20:10 that the adulteress and the adulterer should be put to death. So she's all alone. Apparently now she's doing this by herself. He's nowhere to be found. She's alone, she's humiliated, and she's caught. I think it's interesting, too, and I noted this as we were reading, that you don't hear anything from her until she answers Jesus. So I picture a woman. If I were to play, I'm very, like, visual, so bear with me and try and picture this with me. I picture this woman being dragged in. It's hard to picture because it's very brutal. When you really break it down, this is a really brutal thing. She's being dragged into the city, thrown into the midst, all alone. Picture yourself there. You're caught. Not only did you sin, because who sins every day? I'll be the first to raise my hand. I sin every day. Anybody else? Really, I'm alone? Don't make me alone. We all sin every day. But does everybody get to see my sin? No. Did everybody get to see her sin? Yeah. But guess what? They thought they were bringing her to the person who was going to take care of her, but they brought her to the person who was going to stand for her and help her. So, haha, I love the way that God works. That's the perfect, like, God making everything work together for the good, where you're like, yeah, good one, Jesus. We like this. Let's move on to Jesus. So, to repeat, the woman is caught, she's humiliated, and she's all alone. This is the, like, definition of the word alone. Alone in every way. Nobody is on her side. She's all alone. Has anybody ever been there? Feel like nobody's on your side? Or really, nobody is on your side? And you're all alone and you're thinking, Lord, I have nobody. And in those moments, don't you kind of, have you ever heard that friend who goes, well, you know what? Jesus is with you. And you're like, I know. I would just really like somebody to come and just grab me and remind me that I'm not all by myself. How cool that she had Jesus. He didn't grab her. Let's understand that. But he was there. So let's move on to what Jesus was. First off, Jesus was her advocate. You don't see Jesus saying anything about, oh, no, leave this woman alone. She hasn't done anything wrong, blah, blah, blah. No, 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 no. But he is standing there with her. He is reminding the crowd of their very own sin. Next, he's her protector and he's her restorer. I want to camp here for just one second. Notice what Jesus does. He doesn't stand over her and say, where are your accusers? I'm going to stoop down for a second like this. Does anybody have kids here? When your kids are in trouble, what does everybody say you're supposed to do? Are you supposed to stand over them and say, now you know you shouldn't have done that. That's why you skinned your knee. Because they already know why they skinned their knee. What do they need from you? Go ahead, you can shout it out. It's allowed. Compassion, love, comfort. Look at Jesus' posture. Even he could have said a word and brought comfort, but in his posture, he stoops down. Yes, he's writing in the sand, and we'll never know what he was writing in the sand, and we can all speculate, but it doesn't say. So I don't want to speculate today because we don't have time. But he stoops down, and in my opinion, as a person who has been in sin, as all of us have, to think about how it is when the Lord comes to you where you are at. He doesn't ask you to get cleaned up to come to him. He comes to you where you are at. Was she a woman in need? Oh my goodness, yes. Jesus comes to her at her level, stays with her until her accusers are gone. Oh my gosh. Does anybody else see how cool that is? She's there, all alone, humiliated, caught. And the Son of God, who's doing all these amazing miracles and leading people to God, takes the time to stoop down, get to her level, and spend a little bit of time with her, letting her know that she's worth it. You think she felt a little bit worthless when she came there? Hopeless? This is it for me. This is how I die. This is how I die. And I want to think about that for a second. Picture with me again the woman. She's down on the ground. Do you think she's got her face up, looking at her accusers? Where's your face when you're feeling shame? Down. You're looking down. All you see, if you were to peer up, just barely like this, are hands with rocks in them. I wanted to bring a rock today to show you guys what I pictured this to be. Because it's not little pebbles. stoning people with little pebbles. Come on now. We all know what they were really going to throw. Big rocks. You picture all these people surrounding you in the midst. Remember, it says in the midst. She's surrounded by people with rocks in their hands, angry people who want her to die. And that's all she sees is the ground and these hands with rocks. And she's thinking, this is it. This is how I die. This is how it happens. Has anybody ever been there where you're like, so this is my life. This is where I'm at. Okay. And you're kind of sitting with that. You're not liking where you are. You don't really know how you got there, but you're there. And now what do you do? I mean, praise God that we aren't surrounded by people with stones who want to kill us. Doesn't it kind of feel that way sometimes? Even if nobody knows your story, you kind of feel like everybody's looking at you and they know. They know me. They know my story. They know all about me. When really they're thinking, she knows me. She knows all about me. She knows my story. Oh my gosh, if she had a stone, she'd throw it at me. But we've all been there where we're feeling that shame and that hopelessness and thinking, this is it. God is done with me. I'm finished. But you're not. Because Jesus was there with her. The third thing Jesus was, the first was her advocate, her protector, and her friend. What does a real friend do when you're in trouble? Do they decline your call when it comes in? No. A real friend answers that phone no matter what time of day, right? Jesus answered her need. He fulfilled it. He was her one friend. If you look at those three things that she was caught. He was her advocate. She was humiliated. He was her protector. She was alone, and he was her friend. Her only friend. If your only friend is Jesus, that's a pretty stinking good friend. I'm just saying. That's the one friend that is never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. Think about all the scriptures that you've read, and don't let them just be those scriptures that you've read. Like, really think about them. Stop for a second. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. What was that song that she sang before Your Great Name? Oh, our God is able. He will never leave us. He will never leave us. And I'm thinking, oh, it's so true, Lord. Has anybody seen that played out in their life? And you hear those words, he will never leave us. And you stop and go, you didn't. When everybody else could have left me or everybody else did leave me, you didn't leave me. That's huge. Can I have an amen on that? Amen. Amen. That's right. Sorry, I'm a little feisty or bubbly, as you so nicely put it. I prefer that to sassy. It's much nicer. But God has been there all along, never left you. And in those moments where you couldn't even lift your head to look at the Lord, like this woman, he was still there. It's okay. I know. I understand. I've got two little girls, 10 and 11. And when they have gone through difficult things and they have learned their lesson and they don't need me to tell them the lesson that was to be learned from what has happened, like the whole skinning the knee. Well, you know, when you do that, you skin your knee. They don't need that. What they need is their mom. They need their mom to be there and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that hurt. And here's how we can fix it next time or whatever it might be. But being there for them. So, again, let's imagine the scene. You've got these men around you. You've got them with stones in their hands with only one purpose. There is no question. Was anybody confused as to what was going to happen in the scene, what their motives might have been? If we were, it told us, didn't it? This is what they were there for. And ultimately, they were using her as a pawn to get to Jesus, right? So she really was worthless to them. They didn't care what happened to her. They were going after Jesus. But God turned it around. So remember the rocks in the hands of the angry men. You hear them shouting. They want to kill you. Picture yourself there. If we could do that in every circumstance in life, if we could look at every woman who's going through something difficult and put ourselves in her place, how much more compassionate would we be? This is off the subject, but honestly, if we could look at wherever every other woman is, maybe things that we thought they made a bad choice or they should have done something different, you think they might know that? I think they might know that. And if we could put ourselves in their shoes for just a minute, guaranteed, we would change our thoughts a little bit. That's what's beautiful when you start praying for one of those people. When you've got that person who comes into your mind, I can't believe that she did that. I can't believe she's wearing that. Who does she think she is? And when you stop and you say, Lord, you start out, here's how mine start out, because I do that sometimes. I can't believe they said that to me. I can't believe they did that. I go, Lord, help my heart to be changed on it. And as I open my heart to the Lord, you know what he does? He turns it around for me saying, help my heart to be better, and turns my heart to pray for her. Not in a, and tell her that she needs to change her ways, Lord, because you and I know this, like we're on some team against her or something. But honestly, the Lord changes our heart, right? So put yourself in this woman's shoes for a second. Think about all this chaos that's going around you. And Jesus says, all right, whichever one of you is without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. And don't you love how Jesus doesn't lower himself to their questions? He doesn't go, well, let's talk about the law for a second. He goes, no, let's just get all that out of the way. Get down to the root problem here. You all are in sin and you're wanting to point your finger at her sin. So he just moves that question out of the way and gets to the real issue and says, whichever one of you is without sin, go for it. Knowing. And I love that it says the oldest to the youngest, because the older I get, the more messed up I realize I am. So I feel like that's why the oldest go first, right? Amen. I call it wisdom, but I think it's just, you know, I'm just realizing how messed up I really am. But that's okay. Jesus still loves me. But then, so we've got this angry crowd. Come back with me. Sorry. I'm asking you to come back with me because I'm the one who keeps leaving. Okay. So we're here. They're shouting. She needs to die. What do you say we should do with her? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just picture what a mob would look like with rocks in their hands. Then the scene changes, doesn't it? As soon as Jesus says, whichever one of you is without sin, cast the first stone, everybody kind of goes, oh, snap. Let me think. Because that's kind of like, boom, I got to stop and think for a second. I wish I knew how long it took. I wish I knew how many minutes went by. That this, like, I don't know. I mean, you think it was quick, or you think some of them were like, well, that wasn't so bad. I mean, I don't know. You know, holding their rock, just thinking about it. I just picture them all standing around. So then the scene changes. And I picture it being silent. And you hear the shuffling of feet on the sand. Because you know when you get nervous, you start to shuffle. Does anybody know you do that? You just kind of shuffle your feet. Again, I told you I was visual, so hopefully you're following me. Your feet are shuffling on the sand. And then you hear a thud, another thud, another thud, another thud of all these rocks dropping. That's one less person who's going to throw a rock at you. Just picture it. Just that silence. If you're that woman and you just had all these people around you who are going to kill you, don't you think you'd kind of be like wincing? Especially when it's quiet, you're kind of just waiting for the first one. And she hears the thud on the sand, the rock landing on that sand and that person walking away, those footsteps on the sand getting fainter and fainter and fainter as they leave. And then I wish I knew how long she waited there. And then it says, all that was left was the woman and Jesus standing in the midst. Again, he stoops down and stays with her until her accusers are gone, until it's safe to get back up. I love the work that the Lord does in us. He doesn't expect us to stand up right away. Get back up. You fell, get back up. Of course we get back up. But in that moment where you're feeling hopeless, where you're feeling helpless and friendless and alone, Jesus stays with you and allows you the time you need to heal. And it's nobody's decision how long you stay and need to heal. But the Lord's choice is to come alongside you and help you up. I remember I was at a church of ours when we were living down in San Diego, and the pastor was speaking on this, and he was just talking about how she'd had her dignity completely stripped away from her, and how he just pictured Jesus as a mother would go to her daughter whose head is down, and lifted it with his hand and looked at her and said, I love you. It's okay. You're going to be okay. Never did Jesus say her sin was okay, but he showed her that she mattered, that she was important, that she had worth. He doesn't say her sin was okay. What does he say at the end? He says, go and sin no more. So that's my last point. We've all been this woman in one way or another. whether we've committed adultery, whether we've stolen, whether we've lied, whether we've gossiped, whether we've coveted, whatever it is, does everybody in here agree that sin is sin and it's all the same and it all separates us from God? Anybody? Yes. All of it. I don't say that to defend myself. I say that because it's what Scripture says, that sin is all the same in God's eyes. And all of it builds a wall and builds a wall between us and Jesus. And the word says, how many have fallen? All. Not a few, not just Shannon. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Are we that far gone? Are we so far gone that we can't come back? Goodness, no, that's not the way the Lord works. I'm pretty sure this church would be empty if that's the way the Lord worked. We'd be like, oh, well, I guess I messed that one up. There goes eternity. But God's got more. So are you caught? Have you been caught? Humiliated, alone. Jesus wants to be your advocate, your protector, and your friend. He wants to be those things for you. Where are your accusers? Are they standing over you, waiting to hurt you? Jesus' last words to the woman were, go and sin no more. So God's responsibility is to shut down the accusers, remind them that they're just as messed up as you are, and to forgive our sins. And my responsibility is to go and sin no more. My responsibility is to get up and walk now in the path that the Lord has given me. On the interview that I did with Cheryl, I talked about how God honors our obedience. Are you late in obeying God? It's okay. Start obeying Him now. Fix the mess that you've made along the way, the mess that has been made of your life, fix it along the way. But it's okay. Follow Him now. If you are this woman, I want to tell you, you are not defined by your sin. You are not defined by your past. You are not. If you don't hear anything else I say today, my life is an example of a life that has been redeemed by the Lord. There is no other way that I can stand. And I'm not talking about standing in this pulpit. I'm talking about standing, living a life that follows God. And aren't we all like that? The only reason that we can get up and breathe and walk in this road with the Lord is because of Him. There is no good thing in me. Like I said, the older I get, the more messed up I realize I am. And the older I get, the more I realize how much I really need my Jesus and how He is everything to me. So will you give Jesus this time of your life now? He took a woman who had no name and gave her a new identity in Him. Jesus gives you His name. He's you're His. You don't have to walk in whatever sin you were identified by in the past. You now get to walk in Jesus and say, that's not who I am anymore. This is who I am now. And walk in that boldly, because Jesus tells you to come boldly before the throne of grace, knowing that you will receive grace and mercy and everything you need. What do you need fulfilled? You think about that lady. She had three needs and she had three needs fulfilled. Jesus is three for three. Countless times in our lives, right? A million to a million. There's not one need that He hasn't fulfilled, but you have to let Him fill that need because you have it. It's there. But will you let Him fill it for you? Will you let Him be that friend that you need? Let's pray. God, Your word is so full of men and women who have been broken, who have made choices to be broken, or who have been broken on their own. And Lord, we thank You that Your word doesn't stop there, that Your work continues in our lives, that You're not content to leave us broken, but Your word says that Your unchanging plan has been to restore Your people to Yourself. I pray, God, that we would let You do the work, that we would be that woman, Lord, who is bowed down low saying, I messed up. I did a wrong thing. I need You. Complete and total surrender. And I pray, God, that we would allow You to be our protector, to be our friend, that whatever it is that keeps us from wanting to be completely vulnerable and open before You, Lord, would You get rid of that? Would You show us what that is so that we can get it out? I thank You for the restoring work that You do in our lives, Lord, in such a way that we don't recognize ourselves, that Your work doesn't finish, that You are constantly completing us, Give us compassion for the women who are that woman now. Give us compassion for those friends who are going through those times, God. Would you create us to be a team of women who are on the same team together, loving one another, walking together, helping carry one another's burdens? I pray, Lord, that it would not be that there's a woman who truly feels that she's absolutely alone. Would you give an impression on those hearts that need to come alongside the broken souls? That's the way your church is meant to work, Lord, and I pray that we would work more that way, that we would walk in love for one another and in obedience to you, even if we're late. God, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would go before us as we close with this song, Lord, that our worship would be so passionate and so deep that you would begin changing those parts about us that are in the way, that aren't allowing us to be who you've really called us to be. We embrace all that you have for us, Lord. Help us to be fearless, knowing that we're not alone. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.